Okay, it's me, but it doesn't sound like me. I've got a cold. I feel almost ashamed to say that because I try to take care of health as cause and effect in regard to colds, my friends, and I've been eating a little too much sugar, I admit, and I love Cadbury's chocolate. But anyway, let's go from there. I'll be over it soon. I'm taking carrot juice and vitamin C every hour, and I think I'll soon be okay. No raspiness and no infection. Anyway, Colin Cook here, and how it happens. Thank you so much for joining me today. We're looking at this theme of I believe, but I can't stop doubting. And I'll tell you, my friends, when you realize that so much doubt comes from self-concentration instead of God-concentration, you'll begin to see a lot of light on how we deal with doubt. So thank you for listening. Get your faith trained here today, and God will bless you in the effort. Now let's look at this, friends, from another angle. We doubt because we're concentrating in the wrong direction. We doubt because we're concentrating on us, not on the Lord. Now, of course, one could say if we concentrate on us, we're feeding the doubt of our natural human nature. But if we concentrate on us also, we have a very distorted faith view. So how can our faith nature, that is the mind of faith, how can that grow, how can that be free from doubt if it doesn't have the truth? Let me explain. You may be struggling to be righteous. You know the gospel, you know, or at least you know something about the gospel, you know the message of the cross, you know that Jesus died for your sins, but you now want to overcome all of your human foibles, all of your faults and failings, all of your temptations. You want to be perfect. You're trying to purify every single wrong thought and to remove every wrong behavior. A good goal. But it depends on where you're coming at it from. And if you're coming at it from a wrong direction, thinking that your righteousness is determined by how well you overcome all your bad behavior and how you overcome all of your wrong thinking, if that is what you think constitutes righteousness, then you do not have, my dear friend, a proper view of the gospel. What's going to be the result? You're going to doubt like crazy. Because you're going to say, oh my goodness, God will only receive me if I don't doubt. But I haven't, my doubt is part of my sin, my doubt is part of my wrongdoing, my doubt is part of my evil behavior and thought life. I cannot overcome this, and if I don't overcome it, then I will not be accepted. And so what you're doing is painting yourself into a corner. You're actually creating a very religiously neurotic view of your whole life before God. What we need to remember is this. What we need to learn, my dear friends, is this. That I am counted righteous. I am not actually righteous. Look at Romans chapter 4, where Paul is demonstrating through the life of Abraham how righteousness comes to us. And he says in verse 5, but to him who does not work, that is, who has no works to his credit, but believes on him who declares innocent the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Now please take note of that. Don't go running off somewhere else before you really ponder what that's all about. According to this verse, God justifies, that is, declares innocent, the ungodly who trust. And as he does so, he is counting them as righteous, counting them. Did you notice it didn't say declaring them righteous? They have achieved righteousness. No, he counts them as if they were righteous. That's what the word means, counts. You can use the word impute or credit or consider as. God considers us as righteous. We are not actually righteous. That is why Paul says God justifies the ungodly. When I started this message, I said to you that very often people say, well, have I repented enough? Am I sincere enough? Am I earnest enough? Am I surrendered enough? What are they doing when they say that to themselves? They're concentrating on themselves. Do you think you'll ever come up with a yes when you ask, have I repented enough? No, of course not. Will you come up with a yes when you say, am I sincere enough? Of course not. There's always some sneaky false motive in us. Will you come up with a yes when you hear, am I surrendered enough? When you ask the question, am I surrendered enough? No, of course not. So if you're concentrating on the quality of your sincerity or repentance or surrendered state, then you have all the room to doubt in the world. But God doesn't say here, does he? He justifies the repentant or the sincere or the earnest or the surrendered. He says he justifies, that is, declares innocent, the ungodly. Isn't that just wonderful? Just think of it. I'm ungodly, Father. I'm imperfect. I have so many doubts floating through my mind and banging at the doors sometimes and trying to storm in, screaming at you. You don't believe, you're a liar. You don't believe, you say you do, but you don't. And you profess to trust in God. No, you don't. You know how the mind argues with itself, and that's how the devil gets to us. He tries to get us to argue with ourselves. But if I say, I know I'm not godly enough. I know I'm not earnest enough and surrendered enough. But God declares innocent the ungodly who trust in Jesus, of course, and they are counted as righteous. That's Romans 4, verse 5, you see? So if we have the concentration not upon us, but upon Christ, then it'll be much more natural, that is natural in the faith sense, to believe. Do you see it? You won't be asking, am I good enough? But rather, is Jesus good enough? Am I surrendered enough? But rather, did Jesus surrender enough? Yes, he surrendered totally. Am I sincere enough? No, but is Jesus sincere enough? Am I repentant enough? No, but Jesus is repentant enough. Do I have enough faith? No, but Jesus has all the faith in the world trusting in God, and it's counted as mine. You see, my friends, going back to that verse in Romans chapter 6 that I talked about, we died to sin. If you look at yourself, of course you didn't die to sin. We all know, if we're honest in heart, that we seek to die to sin. We try to overcome this and that. We try to have good thoughts. We try to change our behaviors, and we succeed to quite an extent, perhaps, or less extent, depending on who you are and your development. But nobody will be able to look in the mirror and feel that he has died to sin unless you understand what it really means, which is that Jesus died for you, in your place, by proxy, by substitution. This is why Paul can say in chapter 6, that same chapter, verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Dare anybody who is concentrating on himself say, I'm freed from sin, I'm free from sin, I don't sin anymore? That's not what it means, is it? That's why it's not possible, if you're concentrating on yourself, to say that verse. But if you know what it means in Jesus Christ, you can say, all the doubts that I have, I am freed from their power, because I am freed from sin. Well, how do you mean you're freed from sin? Because I have died. But how do you mean you died? Because Jesus counted his death as mine. How beautiful is this, my friends? That's why Paul can say in verse 11, now listen carefully, Therefore, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That's the same word there as in verse chapter 4, verse 5, where we are reckoned or counted as righteous. We're counted righteous when we're not. And we reckon ourselves dead to sin when in fact our human nature is very much alive. Now you see, when you reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, that's Romans 6:11, when you reckon yourself indeed to be dead to sin, you reckon yourself indeed to be dead to the power of doubt. What is the power of doubt? Well, if we really let doubt have power, my friends, then we would say, there is no God. Or we would say, he doesn't love me. Or we would say, he doesn't keep his promises. Or we would say, he doesn't come through for me. Or I really don't think I can trust him because whenever I ask for something, it never happens. We could say all kinds of things about God. Doubt has the ability to charge God with evil, my friends. Doubt has the ability to wipe out every little bit of confidence in our God. But we say, no, my doubt belongs to my human nature, which I reckon by faith as finished, dead, judged, terminated, executed. We're not in denial when we say that. We know it's alive. We know very well it's alive. But we reckon it has no power to judge us, no power to operate as an identifier of the self. It is powerless because Christ has taken the full force and brunt of it on the cross. This is how we may live. This is how we deal with our doubts. This is what we do as men and women who are now standing in a new identity in Jesus Christ. And so when James and other places tell us, and Mark, if you believe without any doubting to move this mountain, don't worry about the doubts that exist in your natural humanity. Simply say, they are not authoritative anymore. In Christ, I trust, and I'm counted righteous in him, and I have no doubts in him, because his faith is perfect and it is counted as mine. A couple more days, my dear friends, before the month, and as you know, I'm looking for, it's not now 10 new partners, it's not 9, it's 8. 2 people have responded recently, and I thank you so very much, my friends, for your commitment to monthly support. If you, dear friend, learning from this program, having your faith trained by this program, having your mind enlightened by the gospel, if you are so thankful to God for this, would you please express your thanks by supporting the broadcast? It only keeps going, my friends, as a result of your response to the listening. So if you'd like to become a partner, how you do it is decide what you want to donate each month, or each quarter if you like, or each half year, or each year, whatever it is for you, convenient to you, send your check to FaithQuest P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. FaithQuest P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. If you'd like to make the donation by PayPal, go to our website where you can hear the radio broadcast any time of the day or night, faithquestradio.com. All one word there, FaithQuest Radio, faithquestradio.com, all lowercase. Thank you very much for your support, my friends, and thank you for you, dear friends, who send in your donations when you can, and sometimes very healthy, strong donations, and sometimes smaller ones, but they all help, let me assure you. And as I say, these donations are tax deductible. I'll send you a receipt at the end of the beginning of the new year, and I will also send you as a thank you my Cook's Monthly message. Thanks then, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.